Welcome to Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God radio program, an in-depth study of the Word of God. The program name is from Romans 12:2, which says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Welcome and welcome back to the Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God podcast, where we are taking a in-depth look of the Word of God, which can only be found in the Bible, as we look at a verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter look at His glorious Word. We are currently in the book of John in the New Testament, specifically in chapter 15. In our last episode, we started chapter 15. We got through verses, we covered verses 1 through 17, and we're going to pick up with verse 18 and go through 27, which will finish up the chapter. To recap where we are, Jesus is inching closer and closer to the cross. He's hours away from dying for the sins of the world, for my sins and for your sins. He's just finished the upper room discourse where he's told his disciples that he's going to be killed, that one of them are going to betray him, referring to Judas Iscariot, and that Peter is going to deny him. So in these verses, in the verses we looked at prior to, Jesus is reassuring his disciples that despite all these things that are going to come to pass, my betrayal by one of my own, the denial of me by one of my own, and ultimately my death, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. The end of my relationship with you has not ended. Despite of you being persecuted, despite you're going to be in fear, despite of your confusion, despite of all these things that be going on, know that I am still God, that I'm sending back the Holy Spirit to give you a new birth, to give you peace, power, and understanding. So he's reassuring them. He's predicting these things so when they occur, they can realize that, one, he's God, that he predicted these things before they happened, just like the other signs and miracles that he performed to show that he was God, that he's God, and to know that everything is going to be all right because he said they would, that he's never going to leave him, that he's never going to forsake him. So that's what he's doing in these last verses that we're covering, and he's continuing to do that in the verses that we're going to cover today, which are verses 18 through 27. Specifically, when we covered verses 1 through 7 in John chapter 15, we looked at Jesus using the analogy that he is divine and he's the branch, that the salvation is in him. And those in him will bear much fruit. And I didn't emphasize this last time we talked, but the fruit that he's referring to is the fruit of the Spirit, because he talked about sending back the Holy Spirit that would give them peace and comfort. But Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which are love, joy, his peace, his forgiveness, kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and self-control. Those things a believer who has the Holy Spirit dwelling in him will produce these fruits in their lives of God's joy and his peace, his forgiveness, his goodness, his faithfulness, and allow you to have self-control. He's teaching his disciples and also teaching us. When we looked at verses 7, 1 through 17 in John chapter 15, that's the fruit of the Spirit, by being connected to him, being in salvation in him, abiding in him, will manifest themselves in a believer's life. So he talked about that. Still recapping verses 1 through 17 in chapter 15, he talked about and commanded them to love one another, which Jesus commanded them before. To love thy God with all their heart and to love one another as one, if you love yourself. So he was telling them and telling us that we should love one another, especially fellow believers, we shouldn't hate one another. We shouldn't gossip about one another. We shouldn't lie upon one another. We should love one another as Jesus loves us. He loves us. He loves us so much that he would obey the Father and go to that cross and suffer humiliation, pain, and ultimately death voluntarily, that we may have forgiveness of sin and may have a relationship with him, that he calls us friend. Not that we're calling him friend. He said he calls us friend. Hallelujah. What a great and mighty God that we serve. So we're going to pick up. We're still in chapter 15. So if you're not already done so, I encourage you to open your Bible to John chapter 15. And we're going to pick up verse 18 and we're going to read through the end of the chapter. And then we're going to come back. We're going to pray. And then we're going to come back and break them down verse by verse. So let's go to John chapter 15. And again, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's just finished talking with them in the upper room, encouraging them despite all these things that's going to transpire shortly and within hours. We have to keep the time frame in mind. These things that's going to happen to Jesus, his arrest, his beating, his humiliation, his crucifixion, that's coming up in within hours. So these chapters that we're going to be covering the next few episodes, these things happen not in a matter of days and weeks, but in hours of one another. So keep that in mind. So picking up with verse 18 in John chapter 15, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Verse number 20. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. Verse number 21. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Verse number 23. Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my Father. Verse number 25. This fulfills what is written in their scriptures. They hated me without a cause. But I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And then finally, verse number 27. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in your Son's mighty name, Jesus, we love you. We worship you. We appreciate you. We just adore you. You're just so great, a great and living and holy and righteous God that would send his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for mankind's sin. We love you, Father. We thank you for this time to open up your word, and we ask in your Son's holy name that you would open up your word to our minds and to our hearts and to our ears to better understand it and receive it and apply it in our lives, Father, that we may be blessed by it. We love you and we appreciate you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right, so let's go back to verse number 18, which says, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. Jesus's final teachings to the disciples is reassurance, as I said at the beginning of the program. They're about to see Jesus arrested and crucified, which is coming up. Afterwards, they will experience a tremendous opposition that plagued the early church that we're going to see in Acts chapter 8. Bible-believing Christians throughout history have been brutally persecuted from the very beginning through today. And so Jesus is indicating and trying to get them prepared for the future. And so he's telling them these things so they can be prepared, so they won't be caught off guard. And shortly, Jesus will remind his disciples that servants cannot consider themselves above the experiences of the master. So when he said, if they hated me, naturally they're going to hate you as my ambassadors, as my disciples. And so he's preparing them for that. And as he had prepared them for that, he's preparing believers today that they will be persecuted for following and believing in Jesus Christ. That hadn't stopped. It hadn't stopped. It's not going to stop until he returns in his second coming to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Moving on to verse number 19 of John chapter 15. The world will love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. The unbelieving world prefers selfishness and pleasure over honoring God. Part of our sin nature seeks approval of our sins, especially by reassuring ourselves that other people do it too. Therefore, God's ways and Jesus' ways is considered evil, hateful, fearful, closed-minded, ignorant, because it doesn't conform to what the world wants to do, which is whatever you want to do is all right. If it makes you feel good, it's all right. God loves you no matter what you do, which is unbiblical. And anything that goes against the principles of this world of self-pleasure, selfishness, money, materialism, the world despises. The world hates. It wants reaffirmation. It wants affirmation of its sins. And God says, no, I die for your sins that you may come out of those sins. And any view that's contradictory to the world is going to hate. The ideal of being called out by God as a separate people, which 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 talks about, chosen for something more honorable than sin, make Christian believers or Christian belief offensive to the unbelieving world. They call it hate, fear-mongering, you're closed-minded. When Christian believers don't join in worldly sins, the world responds with hatred and mockery. And we see that today. Jesus' words here are meant to reassure his believers that persecution for their faith is a sign of identifying with him. There's going to be persecution, especially in the latter times when the world is so wicked and Satan himself will be physically on this earth ruling it. On that end times that we talk about in the book of Revelation. It's going to hate and kill during that time believers of Jesus. Moving on to verse number 20 of John chapter 15. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. Jesus here ask his disciples to remember something that he said recently, going back to John chapter 13, verse 16, where he talks about being humble and serve others as he had done. The first time this teaching was given, Jesus's point then was that servants are expected to do anything that their masters would do. So if Jesus was saying in that verse in chapter 16, verse 13, that as the master, if I am humbling myself, and I'm serving others, you as the servant are expected to do the same. So here in verse 20, we see Jesus making the point that the servant can't be expected to be treated better than the master. So in other words, if they hated and mistreated the master, you as my servant, you as my followers, they're going to hate and mistreat and persecute you as well. Those who keep his words are those who hear the gospel and respond. The unbelieving world doesn't want this. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, and Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. In fact, the natural response when Christians refuse to join in the sin is hatred and mockery. 1 Peter 4, 4 says, they are surprised that you do not join them in their wickedness, while living in a heap abuse upon you. So when you don't follow the world, they come after you. They hate you. They mock you. There's no such thing as God. Why are you doing that? There's no such thing. There's no God in heaven. There's nothing. There's once you live, you die, and it's over. We hear that all the time. Because the world does not know God and doesn't want to know God and don't understand the things of God. And for those who confess to believe in God and believe in his son, Jesus Christ, are mocked, are discounted, and are shunned. And ultimately, during the end times, are killed. And that's not just going to be happening in times. It may not be happening in America, but there are many countries across this world currently that to profess Christ, to confess Jesus Christ, can lead to death. They're killing Christians in countries across the continent of Africa, in Asia. To confess Jesus and to be known can ultimately lead to a person's death. So that's just not something that's going to be happening in the future. That's happening right now. Well, again, it's not prevalent in America where I am. It's prevalent in many countries across this world. So it's not far-fetched that it's going to go to an even heightened level during the end times, the seven-year tribulation. If you don't know what that's referring to, read the book of Revelation. Check out our podcast on God Revelation, where we break down verse by verse, chapter by chapter, the book of Revelation, where they talk, where God and his word talks about the martyrs, that people will be beheaded and killed on mass scale for believing and confessing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Moving on to verse number 21. They would do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. Jesus' point here is about someone who acts in a Christian-like way and the unbelieving world attacks them because they are imitating Jesus. Jesus pointed out that his haters did not know God. John 8 and 55. That was the reason for their disbelief and hatred. Because they hate God and they hate Jesus. And they're going to hate believers in Jesus. Moving on to John 15, verse 22. They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Those who hear the word of God, including hearing it through his followers today, Matthew 28, 19, have no excuse of rejecting Jesus. Because God has come in the flesh and died for mankind's sins, and especially those in that day he was talking to, because those individuals, during the time of Jesus when he was physically on this earth, they saw with their own eyes the man Jesus and his miracles that they had never seen before, and they ultimately couldn't deny. Because they knew those people who were raised from the dead, who were healed from sickness, blindness. They knew those individuals. They knew it with no setup, no fraud going on. They knew it. Matter of fact, we saw where they couldn't deny the miracle, so they had to say, well, he was doing it through the power of Satan, which Jesus debunked. They couldn't. The miracles during that time was undeniable. These people saw with eyewitness, a firsthand account, what Jesus was doing. We are believing in faith by reading God's word and believing. At that time, they didn't have to read about God's word. They were seeing it in action, his miracles. And he's saying, therefore, you have no excuse. You have no excuse. You've seen it with your own eyes. And even today we have no excuse because we have his word. We have the Holy Spirit to convict us and to show us there will be no excuse, because God did come in the flesh and he died for our sins. And that's a fact. And there will be no excuse on the day of judgment. There will be no excuse. When you've heard the word of God and you've rejected it over and over again, there will be no excuse. He's telling us and warning us there will be no excuse. John 23, anyone who hates me also hates my father. Jesus continued to repeat that it's impossible to separate him from the father, or the father from him. He's saying it over and over again. You hate one, you hate the other. Because Jesus, in fact, is God. So when a person hates Jesus, they hate God. Moving on to verse number 24 of John chapter 15. If I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my Father. Jesus is saying here, my miraculous signs and teaching clearly showed them and shows us who he is. And yet still rejected him and continue to reject him today, which is the most awful sins there is, to reject God to reject God, that's an awful sin. A sin that would lead to eternal damnation and separation from him. And you don't have to be in that position, friend. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He died for your sins. He did. Moving on to verse number 25. This fulfills what is written in their scriptures. They hated me without a cause. Jesus here is quoting the Old Testament, Psalm 35:19 and Psalm 69:4. Jesus is God and he was perfect as God and did no wrong. And yet they still hated him. He only came to fulfill what God the Father sent him to do, to die for mankind's sins, to fulfill the law perfectly, which he did. We see nothing but accounts of him helping people, not hurting people, healing the blind, the sick, raising the dead, which they witnessed, and yet they still hated him. Now, if you know they hated him and he was perfect in God, you know they're going to hate us and all our shortcomings as believers. Yes, we have shortcomings, but thank God that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die for those shortcomings. And the only thing he asks us to do is believe. Believe on him. Call on him. Call on the name of Jesus. And he'll forgive your sins. Moving on to verse number 26. But I will send you the advocate. Some translation says the helper or the comforter. The spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. In this verse, verse 26, Jesus speaking about the work of the Holy Spirit. He was referring to the third person of the triune Godhead, the Holy Spirit. God the Father sent the Holy Spirit just as he had sent God the Son, Jesus. The influence of the Holy Spirit leads us toward the truth. That is Jesus. He tells us that the Holy Spirit will teach us about Jesus, which he does. And what he's done for us on the cross. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he opened up the word of God to better understand who God is and shown himself to be in his word, which we're studying, and point back to Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. He died for our sins, being perfect. Hallelujah. And finally, verse number 27, and you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. The reference to people being with Jesus from the beginning specifically is aimed at his disciples. They were there from the beginning. He chose them. Their eyewitness accounts of Jesus' teaching began at the very start of his public ministry, turning water into wine at the wedding in Cana. Those accounts would not merely inform the apostles as they spread the gospel, but they will also serve as the foundation of the written records that we have preserved in the four Gospels and the books of Acts, as well as other writings in the New Testament. So in other words, their experience with Jesus, which they will write about, and we now have in our New Testament, we're studying one now, John, would allow the word of God and what he did to survive and spread throughout the world. Just imagine this, these 12 men, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the word of God, spread throughout all the earth, even unto this day, where men and women across this entire globe are still hearing about a God who came down from heaven, who was perfect and would give up his perfect godly life for mankind and his sins on that cross. That's what he did. That's what they witnessed, and that's what they wrote about, and that's what they taught, and that's what we're teaching here today. By the power of the Holy Spirit, by the mercy and grace of God, that those who would believe would accept that they're sinners and that he died for their sins and would have everlasting life with him, be born in the Spirit, have their sins forgiven, and have everlasting life with God. You can't beat that. You can't beat that. And if you are listening to this program today and you have not confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now is your time. Do not wait. Tomorrow is not promised to you. It's not promised to any of us, no matter how healthy you are, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are. No one is guaranteed that next breath. By the mercy and grace in God that we do have our next breath, we thank him for it, but it's not guaranteed. And if you're listening to this program, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's not by chance or mistake that you're listening to it, and you can do it right now. Confess it. Hey, say this after me. I am a sinner. I was born in sin, and I committed my own sin, and I need a Savior. And that Savior, I believe right now, is Jesus Christ. I call on you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died for my sins, that you was raised from the dead. I ask you to forgive my sins. I now confess you as my Lord and my Savior. In your name, amen. And if you said that and you believe it, because the word said if you confess in your mouth, confess with your mouth and believe your heart, that Jesus is Lord, that he died for your sins, that you are saved. You are now a new creature. Your new spirit man has been born by the Spirit. He still dwells in this old sinful flesh. You may still have those experiences of the mind, but according to God's word, a new spirit man lives in you. The Holy Spirit now lives in you. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are now reconcile, your sins are forgiven, and you now reconcile, have a new relationship with God, and you will now live forever. While this fleshly body may die, but the real man, the spirit man, will live forever. And ultimately, we return to a glorified body that will live forever, which you can, again, read about that in Revelation as a new beginner, especially if you're new to the Word of God. Some of this stuff may seem far-fetched, but God's Word is not far-fetched. It's perfect. It's going to come to pass. And you can read about that new glorified body. You can read about living forever in his word, specifically in the book of Revelation. And go and listen to our podcast on God Revelation and other references, other materials and podcasts that talks about that new birth and living forever for God and the glorified body. But you need to know and understand right now, you are a new creation according to God's holy and infallible word. There's a new you. That's a new you. And I thank you, Father God, for you. And I encourage you to continue to read his word. You may not understand a lot of it now, but if you can, as a new creation, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he'll open his word to you. If you continue to press into it, continue to pray to him. And prayer is not this formal way of speaking to God in a certain kind of tones you may have seen on TV or in a church. It's communicating with God your Father in a respectful manner, telling him what's going on in your life, confessing your sins, because he already knows. The confession is not to inform God of anything that he didn't already know. It's for you. It's for you. Everything is for you, for him to bless your life and to grow in the relationship with him, to get to know him through prayer and reading his word. I encourage you to do that as a new believer and as an old believer, no matter how long you've been and have a relationship with God. We should always be praying. We should always be studying and reading his word. So that's just not for new believers. It's for anybody. And pray to God about joining a local assembly, commonly referred to as the church. The real church is the human being, the believer. We've called the local assembly the church, the building, but the real church are Christ believers. So pray to God about a local assembly where fellow believers join together in the building to study God's word together, to praise God's word together, to live this, try to walk out and live this Christian life together and to encourage one another. God wants us to do that. As a matter of fact, in his word, he commands us to do that, to meet together, to commune together. So I encourage you to do those things. Hallelujah. We love you, God. Until next time, may God bless you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
We pray that this Bible study has blessed you. If you have a prayer request, you can email it to us at renewyourmind@gmail.com. Remember, you can hear current and past shows at any time on our website at renewyourmindministries.org or on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. We encourage you to tell others about the program and share our website of renewyourmindministries.org Jesus says in Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." By telling others about the program, you're doing your part to spread the gospel into all the world about our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Until next time, this has been Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God.